Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We do have plenty of open lines available right now at 844-322-2742. We would love for you to join us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Yesterday, we talked about a passage out of 2 Thessalonians, and I want to go back to that passage today because I really think it speaks to us individually, but where we are today as a nation, and I think where we are today in the world as to what's going on. So Paul is talking about this man of lawlessness that is going to be revealed at some point in the future, and that he is going to exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, and he's going to set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. And it goes on, and it talks about, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So there's really not going to be a battle. When this guy's revealed, Jesus just speaks, the guy's done with. So he doesn't have a lot of power as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned. Jesus will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, he goes on to say, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works.
There you go.
And we're looking out in the world today, we're seeing how Satan works. He is casting a wide net across this land, across the globe, through lies and deception. That's how Satan works. That's how he worked in the beginning. That's how he is working today. He doesn't know us like God knows us. He knows things about us. He knows that humanity can be deceived. And so he's out to deceive humanity. And he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah. He's got some skill in that
yes,
area.
Yes, yes. And I think some of the laws that have come down of late just show how well he's doing. I think some of the policies that major corporations, here target. I think Satan's doing a masterful job, just blinding the eyes of this world that we live in to the truth of God that has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So this lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Again, that is the operative word, that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So what does that mean? Well, out there in the world, people are perishing because they refuse to believe the truth. How about those of us who have eternal life? Well, the truth has been deposited inside of us. I love what John wrote in his second letter. The truth is in us and will always be in us. Well, who is that? That's Jesus. We have the truth of God living inside of us. And so we have something the world desperately needs. So I believe our mandate as believers is to deliver the truth of the gospel. That's what the world needs. That's what's going to correct the error that's out there in the world. So he goes on to say in verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to save you through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. What have we've been set apart for? To believe in the truth and to walk in love. That's what we've been set apart for as believers in Christ. Well, I think we should live out what we've been set apart to live out for, the truth and love.
Yes.
I think that's what's going to make a difference in this world. I think we've had quite a number of years of history to prove that any solution the world offers doesn't work. There's only one solution. His name is Jesus. We have been set apart to trust in him, to believe in him, to walk in the truth of him. And as we do so, I think we can make a difference in this world today.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call and be a part of today's broadcast. Open lines right now. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Dwight, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dwight.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing wonderful.
Doing fine.
What's on your mind today?
Great. What's on my mind? Okay, once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a job that we have to do. And when we stand before the throne of judgment, and if we didn't do that job, I heard that we won't make it into heaven.
Well, Dwight, that's not true. We're not saved by the jobs we do or the works we do or by our deeds or anything like that. Otherwise, no one would be saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ has done the work for us. And he was the only one that could do the work for us. So he stood in our place. He took the punishment for our sins so that we could receive forgiveness, so that we could be set apart for God's use. He was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life so that we could be raised back to life. So the work is on Jesus' shoulders. He came to carry out that work and to fulfill the will of God the Father, and he carried out his work, and when he said, "It is finished," that's exactly what he meant. So we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. It's not a work, it's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Now, as far as being saved, we're saved to walk in good works. That's what God has called us to, but that's a byproduct of this salvation, this new life that we have in Jesus. So the judgment seat, you know, there's the great white throne. Those that are lost are going to hear that judgment, and they will just remain spiritually dead and will experience that eternally. Those of us who are saved, the judgment for our sins and for everything that we've done was taken care of through the shed blood of Jesus. We're going to stand before him, and our works are going to be appraised, and we're going to see how God used us in this world today. And I think that's going to be a marvelous thing. But there's no way that we can lose our salvation, because the work of Jesus was complete.
Okay, so when it's all, we will receive our reward in heaven. You know, I was told the goal for the gold, not the goal for the bronze. You know, do much as I can for Christ. I don't understand what that means.
Well, again, those things aren't in the Bible, are they?
Yeah, this is true.
All right. Well, so we've got to go to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks, Dwight. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. It's an interesting comment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we believe so many things that people say that are in positions of prominence and leadership, and we think, well, they should know what they're talking about.
They should,
but we have to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God is our standard for truth, and regardless of what someone says, how persuasive they are, how many degrees they have, how long they've been involved in ministry, we still have to listen to those words and then compare it to what the Word of God has to say. We've been given the crown of righteousness. We've been declared righteous in the sight of God. Why? Not by things that we've done, but by the work of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that righteousness is a gift of grace, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Our redemption is a gift of grace. The inheritance that we have is a gift of grace. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So nothing's going to be added. In Christ, we already have everything we need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. That's the good news of this gospel. So, Dwight, thank you so much for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's go to Clarion, Pennsylvania, and talk with Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Hello. I'd like to thank you guys for what you're doing. I appreciate the truth that you share daily, and I've been a longtime supporter. And something happened to me 3 weeks ago. I was cutting this big oak tree down, and there was a Y going out, and it hit the top of another tree. Whenever it left loose, the other tree went down, then it snapped back, and the top flew in the air right at me. And I stood behind the tree then. I just took one step forward, and it crashed around me. I didn't get hurt. Well, then I got a card from some people, when people were just basic gospel saying that they were praying for me. And I just wanted to thank them so much, because I've had other trials in my life, and you see things happening, and you find that someone was praying for you. So thank you very much.
Well, you are so welcome, Bruce. Thanks for picking up the phone and calling us today. And, you know, Bruce, for all of our listeners, is one of the ones that sponsors this program. So through his generous support, this broadcast airs each and every day. And we pray for those who support this broadcast. And we're just grateful that that happened at that particular moment in your life, Bruce. And thank you for being a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We sure appreciate you, my friend.
Okay, well, thank you, and God bless.
Well, God bless you as well. Thank you so, so very much. And, wow, what a great call.
Indeed. It's just, it's so amazing to me that, you know, when we set up this little program that we're doing most for the year, where we do pray for people, we create these lists, many times we don't know exactly what to pray for. So we pray for God's will. We pray for greater understanding and discernment. We just hold them up before Jesus. And then you hear things like this.
Yes, indeed.
You know, he could not have written to us and said, please pray for me that when I cut this tree down, that, you know, when the other tree snaps back and flies at me, I'll be safe. Because he couldn't have known that.
Right.
But God knew that.
Absolutely. And I think that's the same as far as when we go on the air each and every day. We don't know who's going to be tuning
Correct.
In. We don't know who's going to be listening on any given day. But God knows. And God knows the needs of those particular people. And he's big enough to take what's being said on the air and connect somebody to truth in such a way that it meets their deepest need or whatever the need is at that particular moment.
Yes.
That is the miracle of Christ and the Holy Spirit and his word, that it really does meet us at our point of need. So often, I know when I've been in different different sermons and that sort of thing, I think about when I was at a youth camp when I got saved, when the gospel
Yes.
really made sense to me. It really resonated in my heart. There were 200 people in this room, and we were listening to this guy portray the crucifixion of Jesus. And I thought I was the only person there. I
Yes.
just felt like Frank, Pastor Frank, was talking right to me, Mm-hmm. right to my heart. And it was as if no one else was in that room except for me. Well, Frank didn't know me.
No.
He had seen me some during the camp and probably said, who's that goofy kid? But God saw me, and God saw my need, and he just connected what Frank was saying at that moment to my heart in such a way that it brought salvation. And that's the way it is with God. And I think that is just the great miracle of this word of God that we have the privilege to share each
Yes.
and every day on the broadcast. And we're so grateful for friends that stand with us, who share in this ministry. And we know that those who share in this ministry, it's not because they've been persuaded by us to do so.
Correct.
It's because God's Spirit has brought them to that point, and they said, hey, I want to be a part of what you're doing Mm-hmm. through this outreach. So we know that those folks that do stand with us, it's a real ministry that they are having in the lives of people all across this country and yes. around the world. And we certainly need others and would love for others to join with us as we take this good news out into the marketplace each and every day, as we engage the ideas of this world and present an alternative in Christ, as we attack the lies of this world and with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only way the lies are going to be dispelled, is if truth comes in. If we correct a lie, another lie is going to come in and take its place, and then another lie and another lie. The only way to solve the problem is to bring truth. And that's why we have to stand up and be a voice of truth in this world
yes.
today.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were reading at the beginning out of 2 Thessalonians. People refused to love the truth. And that's not some judgmental statement that Jesus is up there with a 2x4 waiting to whack you. What it is a statement of such angst and disappointment, because Jesus is offering truth. He's not offering judgment. Judgment has been taken care of. He's offering truth. And if we would just accept who he is and what he's done, it would just undo all of this web of lies that exists out there.
Yes.
And you personally could have the most clarity that you've ever had in your life in that moment, and you'll never lose that clarity because the Spirit comes inside of you and renews your mind. That's what we're talking about. This isn't not scaring you into the kingdom. This is admitting who Jesus is and let him give you the kingdom.
Right.
Because he wants to.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Tina, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Tina.
Hi, how are you all doing? Blessings. My question is that I saw my husband twice. I was in the kitchen, and I saw him. He had a certain kind of clothes, and then all of a sudden he was out there doing yard work. And then all of a sudden when I saw him with that blue shirt and pants, then he comes in and he had a totally different clothes, but I saw him, and then I said, weren't you wearing this? He said, no. So what does that mean? I don't understand what that means.
Well, Tina, I don't know what that means either, and I wouldn't hazard a guess. I don't think that would do you any good at all. And if I were in your shoes, I would I wouldn't give any stock to that whatsoever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't try to figure it out. I wouldn't try to find a meaning to it. I think you're going to open yourself up to things that you really don't want to open yourself up to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I know, because I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long, long time, and things will come in our way, our lives. And I just look upon him and look to the Bible, and that's all I'm going to look at, because nothing else matters. Nothing else is important, just his word. And we need to know his word, and that's it.
Absolutely. How long have you been married, Tina?
Oh, going on 40 years now.
40 years. How about that? Well, congratulations to you on that. But I think you're 100% right. You know, we have to look to the Word of God. That's our truth.
Yeah.
That's where truth is to be found. And when we go to the Word of God, we're gonna be confronted with Jesus, because he's one where truth is centered, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Too many things will appear. Too many things are what we hear, what we see, what we feel. We have to go to him. But I said, well, I'm just going to ask my brother, see what it is. But I knew it. I know that nothing matters. What matters is what he says.
Absolutely.
And I'll follow him and go with him, and that's it. We will be faced with so many things, but I don't care. I love him, and my love stays, and my eyes are focused on him. Whatever he says, I will do.
Well, Tina, You just keep that strong conviction. You keep taking a stand on the Word of God, and I think that's going to serve you well.
Amen. Praise God. Blessings to you and your show. Blessings for everything.
Well, thank you so much, Tina. I remember, listening to Tina talk and, quote, seeing kind of a vision, wanting to know what it was. When I first got into ministry, there was a young couple that was involved in, and the girl went to see a psychic, and this psychic had said some things that, opened her eyes and said, wow, that's what's going on in my life. How did you know? And that just opened her up to, you know, whatever the psychic wanted to tell her. And every time the psychic told her something, it meant more money. And, of course, she was hooked, so she kept giving money and kept giving more money and kept giving more money. And she wanted to find out, well, is that okay to go see a psychic as far as the Word of God is concerned? And what she found out was this psychic was motivating her by fear, that yes, everything she said was a fearful statement. You know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, this is going to happen, and it just scared this person to death. And I said, well, let's go into the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say, that God is love, that perfect love casts out all fear, that God has our best interest at heart, that he's for us, not against us, that all judgment and condemnation went upon Christ, we've been set free. And as she started listening to the truth, she started getting madder and madder about that psychic and said, why did I get deceived and believe those crazy lies? And oftentimes, just through circumstances of life, and we're trying to figure out what does that mean, we open up ourselves to that dark side of fear and guilt and shame, and we let those things start dictating to us what our course of life should be.
Yes.
We haven't been set apart for that. We've been set apart for the truth about God's love and grace. That's where real freedom lies. So if you have those sort of things, step back and say, Lord, I want to know what truth is. And that's where you're going to find your hope. That's where you're going to find your solid footing. That's where you're going to find your security in this world. And don't let anybody move you away from what you have in the gospel.
Yes. Everything I needed to know about psychics, I learned a few years ago when a story came up that one of these psychic hotlines had closed down. And the lawyer for the hotline said, well, the reason the psychic hotline went down, you know, was no longer in business, was for unforeseen circumstances. That tells you everything you need to know.
Ironic, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yes, how about yes. that?
Well, let's go to Tampa, Florida, and talk with Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, Bob, hi, guys. I left church yesterday, the one I was attending. When I went there, every time I went there, I felt more added more heat of what to do, more stuff to do, and I finally made the decision. I told God, I'm finally deciding to leave this church. And I left the meeting because my cousin needed gas. And one of the guys came out and said that that's of the devil, because I'm leaving the meeting because the devil is distracting me from the Word of God. And, I mean, I left out of there crying. I mean, I was upset. I'm sorry, but... How is that the devil?
Jose, it gets right back to what we're talking about, truth.
Yes.
And if, you know, we're called the body of Christ. We are the church. And then there's local manifestations of that, and some of them are in various denominations and that sort of thing. And our purpose as a church is to lift up the person and work of Jesus Christ, and to stir and stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. That's what our purpose is at a church. Now, if a church is putting fear inside of you, is just building a to-do list that grows every time you go into the church, you're not hearing about Jesus. And if you're not hearing about Jesus, it's not a church worth its salt. So I say, go find a place that you're going to hear about Jesus, learn about his finished work, learn about what his resurrection means, learn about all that he's accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's a church that's going to feed you and is going to encourage you to engage in the lives of the other people that are attending as well. So, Jose, we're out of time. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel for Richard Pfeiffer and the whole ministry team. We say thank you for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. We certainly thank all of those who stand and support the work that God is doing through this outreach. They are the ones that bring this radio broadcast to your ears each and every day. We would encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing. For all the information on how to do that, visit us at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow.